chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So we've looked at this just to see a couple of aspects of what it means to follow Jesus and really principles of what it means to pursue or follow anything for that matter. But what it means if we would follow Christ. And so we said the first thing is going to be a desire. The Lord gives us the desire to pursue the Lord, to pursue Jesus. He gives us the ability to deny self. He gives us the task of mortification of sin, killing inward sin, doing battle with the flesh. And then the last part of this verse simply says, "And follow me." After we have come after we have denied self, after we've taken up our cross, and when I say that, I don't really mean that it all occurs in some sort of a sequential order, but when you've done those things, follow me. That's how you are going to follow him. And so let me just give a few aspects of what it means to follow Jesus, different ways that we can follow Jesus in a concrete way. The first thing I want to point out here is that following Jesus, in the practicality of it, following Jesus is a daily choice. Take up your cross daily. That's going to be a choice. You have to deny yourself. That's going to be a choice, an intentional choice. And by that, I hope you know what I mean. What I mean is that Jesus is not talking about some sort of a spontaneous thing that happens in the moment because you're carried away with some emotional high. You've got to choose to do it. Follow me. This is going to be an intentional choice. You're going to receive the strength to do it, the power to do it, the desire to do it through the power of the Spirit, but you've still got to choose to do it. So you'll know what I mean as we get through these. First way, as far as following Jesus, let me just remind you, the phrase following Jesus means that you're walking with Jesus. You are learning from Jesus, and you are imitating Jesus. All those little phrases are wrapped up into what it means to follow Christ. And so first, we are going to walk with Christ through spending time in his word. Okay? We're going to walk with Jesus. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to imitate Jesus. We're going to become Jesus' disciple as we spend time in his word. Now, in order for there to be any real regularity in that, you realize and you know that there's got to be some sort of desire. There's got to be a desire to be in God's word. If that desire is not there, you will never really pursue it. You may pick it up and read it sporadically, you know, whenever you feel guilty that you've done this or not done that. You may pick it up and, you know, try to salve your conscience by at least you spent some time in the Word. But the regular kind of communion, the regular kind of discipleship, the regular diet of being in God's Word has to start with a desire. And then the same principle that we said at the beginning is kind of reversed. The more that you're in God's Word, the more that desire grows. So your desire sets the pursuit, and in a real way, that pursuit strengthens your desire. How many of you have known the reality of being, you know, feeling cold, feeling like you were just going through the motions, and maybe it was a cold week, maybe it was a cold month, maybe it was a cold couple of days, and you got up and you were pursuing the Lord in his word anyway, and then all of a sudden, he begins to feed you. He opens up some portion of Scripture. He opens up some part of his word and begins to feed your soul, and all of a sudden, the desire that you have for that word is just ignited. You're excited about it. The Lord really connects the dots between what's on the page and what's in your heart. it becomes a reality to you, and you really are receiving spiritual food. And it's because you started out with a desire to be in the Word, and the pursuit of that desire strengthened your desire as God blessed you in it. Look in Psalm 1. Now again, we're talking about walking with Jesus through spending time in His Word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The psalmist begins, blessed is the man who walks not this way. So he zeroes in on the walk. He's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, right? He's not standing in the way of sinners. He's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. His life, his manner of life, his behavior is not like this. And there's a reason. Because his delight is in the law of the Lord. He has a desire for the Lord, for the Lord's word. And as he meditates on this, and as he grows in this, he's fruitful. Now, anyone here who would be serious-minded about following the Lord would be excited at the prospect of Psalm 1 being their experience, of being defined by the way that Psalm 1 defines this man or this woman. And I would just say this, if we would pursue the Lord, if we would walk with the Lord the same way that this person, this individual is walking with the Lord by being in the Lord's word, we're going to have to deny self. And there's some real practical ways that that works out. You're going to have to deny self in the sense of arranging your schedule so that time in God's Word is a priority. Okay? Don't kid yourself. You have to deny yourself for that to happen. Now, the desire will grow, and the things that you're denying yourself, you probably won't think twice about after a little while. But if you're not in the habit and you haven't made a practice of the spiritual discipline of being in God's Word regularly, there's some self-denial that goes along with that. And that's why it's so difficult. At least at first, that's why it's so difficult. Because I said it this morning, I really do believe it, Satan is a master at distracting us. He is a master at distracting us with just busy work, with excuses. He's a master at distracting us in thinking that we're just about to hit the perfect plan. And so if I could spend a little more time on this plan about being in God's Word, then I'll get it just right. Anybody in here like to plan? I do. I like to plan. A lot of times I like to do the perfect plan until I figure out I'm going to be on this plan forever, and I just throw it away and jump in and do something. But that's the one way that Satan can really distract me. Another way that we can be distracted, another way that we have to deny self, is just recognizing and getting away from time wasters. Time wasters. Okay, what do I mean by that? Typically, not always, typically, when I sit down to meet with someone counseling-wise, and I'm thinking about people from the community, because that's the majority of what I do, or people from the community, typically when I start to ask about their time in the Word, it's almost nothing. And it's typically because they don't have time. And so the more questions I ask, and the more I prod, I figure out that they have time to spend countless hours on Facebook, and they have time to spend countless hours on YouTube, and they have time to spend countless hours in front of the television or countless hours in front of whatever it is they like. And, you know, Facebook, YouTube, and TV are the easy ones, but whatever. But they don't have time for God's Word. Now, here's what I really do believe about that. I believe that most of the time when I'm talking to these people, they are completely oblivious to that. And the reason is because Satan is a master distractor. I know that I am distracted far more than I should be. I can get something on my mind, and once it's on there, unless I'm just really intentional, I'll give you an example. Several years ago, I was thinking about getting a lawnmower. I spent months on the internet looking at lawnmowers, going back and looking at the ones that I had already looked at just to see if the commercial had changed a little bit and there was a neater thing that I had missed the time before. Reading this review and seeing what Craigslist had and seeing this and seeing that and spending way too much time looking at lawnmowers. Now, is it sinful to look at lawnmowers? I hope not. Is it squandering time? Is it being so distracted and so consumed with this idea of finding the right lawnmower? Or here recently it's been, maybe you'll roll her eyes in the back. Here recently it's been the perfect barbecue recipe, the perfect ribs, perfect pork butt, the perfect brisket, sausage, whatever. If you were to look at my YouTube history, I'd be embarrassed. It has resulted in about 3 good meals. Those kinds of things that we get distracted in, that we get sucked into. Again, not sinful, but excess. This is when we get back to Ephesians, this idea of lasciviousness. The reason I like that word so much, and the way that it's used there, is because it's not just about those who are unbridled in adultery. It's not about those who are unbridled in drunkenness. It's also about those who are unbridled in searching the internet about lawnmowers. It's about those who are unbridled in barbecue YouTube videos. It's about no restraint. Well, brothers and sisters, if we are going to be walking with Christ by spending time in His Word, we're going to have some restraint in some areas of our lives, aren't we? We're going to have to deny ourselves some things. We're going to have to put to death some things. And again, the longer we're pursuing that, the more that we're involved with that, the more that that desire grows, the stronger that that pursuit becomes. And I want to make sure you understand when I say this, walking with Jesus through spending time in His Word, I'm not saying that your goal is to have a perfect record this year, that you read the Bible every day. Now, I hope that happens, and if it does, that's good, but the point is not that you you hit the schedule every day. The point is that you realize and you make the priority spending time with Jesus, having your mind renewed through the Word, through communion with Him. So, following Jesus, a daily choice to spend time in the Word. Number two, and these are all things that you already know, so this is an encouragement, a reminder, walking with Jesus through regular prayer. Through regular prayer. Philippians 4:6, and I'm going here just to hit the different kinds of prayer. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So walking with the Lord through prayer. Again, if you think about your own prayer life, if you think about your own desire for a prayer life, if you're like many people, your desire for a healthy prayer life far outweighs the existence of that which you desire. I would fall into that category. It's not because I never pray. I just wish my prayer life were better than what it is. And I don't mean that in some sort of a super pious way. That's just the way it is. I wish in the moment it came to my mind, hey, I need to pray about this, and I prayed about it. I wish I were more disciplined in this area. But, you know, walking with Jesus through prayer, again, takes some self-denial, doesn't it? It takes some self-denial. You're going to have to deny yourself some things. And again, as with the Word, you're going to have to deny yourself the convenience and the delusion of spontaneity. One of the things that I really push back on hard in counseling is the idea that things are only spiritual if they're spontaneous. So it's not sincere if you planned to do it. It's not sincere if it wasn't something that you just thought of in the moment. And sometimes, you see this sort of a attitude, particularly in romantic type movies, that it's just this spontaneous guy or gal who always knows what to say, when to say it on the spot. And it's not real if you can't somehow have that sort of spontaneity. Well, back on planet Earth, most of us are not gifted in spontaneity. Most of us don't work that way. That's more of a dream world. If you would walk with Christ through prayer, you're going to need to have some set-aside time to pray, right? If you don't, you're probably not going to get around to it. Not only are you going to need some set-aside time to pray, it's also good if you think about the different ways that God calls us to pray. So, you know, it's possible and easy to set aside that time of prayer and let that entire time just be asking and asking and asking and asking. And there's nothing wrong with asking, but God wants us to do more than ask. Prayer, the supplication there is asking with thanksgiving. You know, it's helpful sometimes to get the reminder that one of the regular disciplines of my day needs to be giving thanks to God. And if that needs to be a regular discipline, then there must be an abundance of things that God is giving me, that I'm receiving, that I'm legitimately able to give thanks for. Things that I did not deserve that I'm receiving. Things that were not going to come my way outside of God's goodness and grace and mercy and having an eye out for those areas and for those times where we can just give thanks to God. That's, again, that's more of a discipline than it is a spontaneity. You've got to be looking for that. If not, you know as well as I do. If not, you can go an entire week, an entire month, several months, an entire year, without recognizing anything that God's done and going back and giving thanks. Okay? We do that. We can do that, and we do that. If we're going to walk with Jesus, if we're going to imitate Him, if we're going to learn from Him, part of that is going to be by growing in thanksgiving, growing in supplication, That's bringing our own needs before the Lord, but also bringing one another before the Lord, growing and letting our request be made known to God. Again, it's going to take some self-denial in order for you to do that. One of the real difficult things for us to lay hold on is just how dependent we really are on God. It's just like one of those things, you know, that makes for a good sermon, but it's super hard to embrace. I really am this dependent. I really can't do this, that, or whatever. I really do need the Lord and I need His provisions. Turn over to John 15. So we're walking with Jesus daily through spending time in His Word. It's going to require self-denial. We're spending time in prayer. It's going to be some self-denial that goes there. Mortification of sin that goes for whatever's in your way in both of those. Third, in John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The third aspect here is walking with Jesus through obedience. Okay, if you're walking with the Lord, if you're coming behind Him as a disciple, if you are imitating Him, then it's not just enough to read. It's not just enough to pray. If you're following Him, you're imitating Him. That means you're obeying Him. And so as we think about what that means and where all that branches out, I mean, that can be an all-consuming task to try to think about that. What does it mean to obey Him? Well, part of what it means is the first two things we just said. We're going to be diligent to be in His Word, diligent to be in prayer. And then after that, it's that you're going to be diligent to pursue, you're going to be diligent to seek to fulfill the responsibilities that the Lord's given you. Okay? So He's given you the responsibility of fighting sin. That's in general. So it doesn't mean for you to be walking with Jesus in obedience that you're always winning 100% of the time. It does mean you're in the ballpark. You're moving in that direction. That's the desire of your heart. You're fighting. You're trying. And then wherever your roles are in life. So if you're, you know, if you're a member of a church, then you want to encourage those who are around you. If you're married, then you're wanting to fulfill those responsibilities that God has given you as a spouse. And so husbands, part of obedience means we are trying to love and lead our wives. It means we are trying to disciple our children and not provoke them to wrath. Wives, if you're seeking to walk with the Lord, then that means you are seeking to be your husband's helper. You're seeking to be submissive. You're seeking to take the role that the Lord has given you, and again, not be perfect at it, but to be moving in that direction. To want to please Him in that. Children, you're seeking to obey your parents. And all of us, we're seeking to grow in wisdom, and we're seeking to grow in our knowledge of the Word. We're seeking to obey. Well, now we're really talking about self-denial, aren't we? Now we're really talking about self-denial. How in the world do you fulfill your role as a husband and not whittle a lot of stuff off of your list? As far as I've been able to see, and this, you're not going to be surprised I said this because I've said it a bunch of times, one of the main reasons that husbands struggle in leading and loving their wives is because they're distracted. One of the main reasons I struggle in leading and loving my wife is because I get so distracted. I once had a couple that came to me for marriage counseling, and they would come and things were pretty bad when they started, and they had some things to work through. But what I very quickly realized was that the only time these two people were sitting down and having a conversation was every 2 weeks with me. That was it. And it wasn't because he was off playing video games and she was off getting her nails done. It was because he was working tons and tons of hours and she was trying to homeschool five kids and they had other things going on. And so as I say that, I don't say that as if it's easy, but I am saying that if we aren't intentional about fulfilling the roles that God has given us, we will coast in whatever winds that we find ourselves in. And they're not always what you would call bad winds, right? Same way with parenting. As we seek to raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's got to be intentional. It's got to be intentional. There's so many distractions. I get so distracted when it comes to my responsibilities here. Now, if it said, "Daddies, have fun with your kids," I'm pretty good with that. I don't have much of an issue with that. If it said, "Daddies, aggravate your little girls," I can do that. But when it comes to trying to disciple, when it comes to having a regular time to where we sit down and we're learning something out of God's Word, you know, you'd think that would be easy for the guy who preaches twice a week, but it's not. It's not. Not for me anyway. Why? Distracted. I'm distracted. I allow myself to get distracted. And then, obviously, obedience goes into all those other things that you would normally think about as far as fighting sin. But I want to make sure that I press the point. If we're walking with Jesus, it doesn't mean that we're just fighting against all the big, gross sins that we know of. It means that we're walking with Him in the roles and responsibilities that He's given us. And we're growing in that. And so, one of the things that the Lord showed me, this was back when Abby and I first got married, and it was a revelation whenever He showed it to me. But one of the reasons why I started doing most of my studying in the mornings was because as a young preacher, it's easy to get obsessed with studying. So you can think if God's called you to preach that when you get up in the morning, you should read and then go to work. And then whenever you get home, you need to go coop yourself up in your study and study some more. And that's what it means to be faithful. And then one day I thought, wait a second. How in the world will I ever preach a sermon on husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church if my study time for that has taken place while I've completely neglected my wife in the process? It's more than just knowing. You got to do it. It's more than just reading something. It's walking in that something. And that's what it means to walk with Christ. Does that mean you shouldn't study? Obviously not. It means there's more to it than studying and reading and knowing. There's obedience. There's doing. And then lastly, look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the last one I have on here is walking with Jesus through walking in fellowship with His people. Walking with one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, part of what it means to walk with Jesus is helping other people walk with Jesus. Part of what it means to follow after Christ is to help other people follow after Christ, to encourage, to be that I just said encourage, so the encouragement that someone may need, to be that exhortation, to be whatever that is, to be that iron that sharpens iron. And you know, when it comes to considering one another, provoking one another unto love and to good works, you know, it can be a real daunting task to think about what all that means and what all that entails. I really think that it's a lot like many other things that seem to be really difficult, like how do you minister to somebody who's in the hospital, or how do you sit down with people whose lives are falling apart and they're looking for someone to help? How do you do that? Well, in my opinion, the hardest part is just showing up. It's just showing up. Now, am I saying you show up and everything will take care of itself? No, I'm saying once you've showed up, more than likely the Lord will lead you in the other stuff. More than likely, if you have a heart to show up, then you will be fine and you will be equipped in working out the awkwardness of what goes into that. But I'm going to tell you the hardest part in any of this stuff, particularly in relationships and in walking in fellowship in a meaningful way, is the lie that Satan likes to give us that you have to be an expert at whatever you're getting ready to say, or you don't need to say anything. You need to have it all together, and you need to have the end figured out, and you need to this and that, and that's just not the way it works. It's pretty amazing at times to see how the Lord works when you just show up. When you just show up. And you end up saying things and you think, where in the world did that come from? You end up being able to make applications, or maybe you didn't even get to any of the stuff that you thought you were going to get to, and the Lord blessed it. He says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. I know this means a whole lot more than what I'm saying when I say show up, but it doesn't mean any less than what I'm saying when I say just show up. Now, that being said, I'm going to say the same thing about this that I say about the Bible reading. This doesn't mean that I'm saying you ought to have some sort of a legalistic deal to where when you get to the end of 2019, you can say, I showed up to every service. That's not it. Okay? There are reasons why you would not. Mothers with young children, there are things that happen, sicknesses, those kinds of things. So I'm not saying, at the expense of wisdom, just show up. But I'm saying when you can, you make the effort that you need to make to show up. And you walk with Jesus as you walk with the people of Jesus. And Isaac alluded to this Thursday, and I'll just repeat it. One of the great blessings of being a pastor is just the ability to pastor. I like preaching just fine. I like messing with you guys a whole lot more. I like ministry one-on-one stuff a whole lot more. Because it's just a blessing, and what I've learned over the years, if I'll show up, more than likely, if I show up, it'll be fine. I don't mean your situation will be fine. I mean I'm not going to walk away feeling like a big goofball that didn't know what to say. It may just be that all I do is give you a hug, or it may be that we talk for a couple of minutes. I used to think that if I was going to show up and pastor, that I needed to show up with a chapter to go over with you, while you more than likely weren't paying attention to anything I was saying. I don't really think that anymore. I think the Word of God is greatly important, but you know what I also think? Fellowship with God's people is very powerful. Loving service among God's people is very powerful. And I'm convinced the most difficult part of that is just showing up. So that takes some self-denial. That takes some putting some things to death. Most of the time, that's just our pride. And then it takes following Jesus, coming in behind him, imitating him, becoming a disciple of his. And so I would just encourage you that as we get ready to come into a new year with new commitments and new resolves for different things, to think about the commitment you've made to follow Jesus. Think about who you're pursuing and what you're pursuing. Think about who or what you're denying. Thinking about who or what you're putting to death. And then thinking about what it means to come in behind Christ and follow him with a new commitment, new resolve that the Lord would bless.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.